Welcome to the 43rd episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Victor Ostrovsky, author of the thriller novel Black Ghost, as well as the nonfiction account of his service with the Mossad, a book titled By Way of Deception, which was a New York Times number one bestseller in 1990.
Well, this is Jeffrey Deaver, author of most recently The Burning Wire, and soon to be author of the next continuation James Bond novel. I spend a lot of time writing, a lot of time researching my books, but when I'm not doing that, I love listening to the Reading and Writing Podcast, which you can hear at readingandwritingpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Victor Ostrovsky, author of the spy thriller Black Ghost. Ostrovsky is also the author of the nonfiction book, By Way of Deception, The Making of a Mossad Officer. Victor, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, if someone isn't familiar with Black Ghost, can you give them a sense of what the book is about?
Well, it's about, it's a spy novel, but it starts with the a historic base, which is after the collapse of the Soviet Union. We have a reignition of a secret response the Soviets had prepared in the event that they would be reoccupied. They were really took it very hard, the fact that they were not prepared during Second World War. And immediately after that, they have created a response in the event that they would be occupied again, which is a pre-made underground, and which would be in place and ready to respond and start to fight back the so-called resistance that they had. The Americans did similar things in Europe, and this is where it all starts. That's why it's called Black Ghosts.
Great. Well, given your, as I mentioned earlier, you also wrote a nonfiction book, By Way of Deception, an account of your experiences as a Mossad officer. I'm curious, when you were doing that type of work, did you know all along that you wanted to write a thriller novel?
Not really. I enjoyed the fact of writing. I paint. That was my main thing always. But the experience of actually writing By Way of Deception itself with somebody triggered that and caused that. Well, I wrote another book before that, which is called Lion of Judah, which is a fictional novel. And then when I just wanted to move a little bit away from the Mossad itself and go into a wider arena with larger and bigger intelligence services, considering that Mossad is a rather small organization and deals with a rather narrow scope of things compared to, for example, the CIA or MI5 or the others. So and knowing what they do, because it's part of what you learn in a smaller agency too, it was a challenge for me.
Right. And so have you always been interested in writing?
Yes. Ever since I was a kid, I wrote in Hebrew. I wrote, that was my main language when mm-hmm. I growing up in Israel. Trying to conquer the English language in a way that will be understood, you know, that you'll be able to express more than just, the banality of life itself, but try to get a little deeper. It's going to take time. And I hope I'm, arriving somewhere in that direction.
Sure. And what age were you when you started learning English?
Well, I knew English at a basic level because I came to Israel when I was five, so I had some English, you know. I spoke English until I was five. Then I started back in English, started around 25. Then, of course, was brought back into it when I was in the Mossad. That was quite a requirement, so having it as a base and the ability to speak English without an accent was an important element. So around the age of 30, I really got into it again.
Right. And given your background in the Mossad, I'm curious, when you read other thriller novels, do you find sometimes the authenticity lacking, or do you see kind of basic mistakes that you think to yourself, you know, it wouldn't really work that way?
Well, it's interesting that you ask. The first thing that happened when we came to the Mossad, we were given a book, which I really thought was, you know, a very strong book on that subject, and asked to read it again. And it was The Day of the Jackal. I don't know if you remember that book.
Yes.
And the assassination attempt on a French president. And it was, and then we readdressed that book less than 2 months after we were in initial training and had to start finding errors in it. And it was really hilarious. I mean, at that time, suddenly we were looking at it. It was a completely different view. You have ones, you have a series of books which are really very close. So, you know, La Carré always captures the feeling of all the books. I mean, there's no question about that. You can sense the you know, what happens in the corridors. Yeah, there's a few. In fact, there are books that are not spy novels that people who wrote them have no idea about espionage, and they have a better ring in espionage than others. Dealing with, for example, The Sting, you know, and it's all its sources. That's the work of espionage. I mean, that's how espionage works. It's the treatment of the element, the deception that's in it. That's what makes, you know, that you think one thing is going to happen and suddenly something else completely takes place. That's what espionage is about. It's tricking the other person to believing in things. It's almost like playing magic tricks on things.
Right.
So to your question, yeah, I find a lot of them, you know, interestingly amazing in the fact that they can weave a story like that sometimes without the knowledge. At the same time, consider this. A lot of people in the spy world like to read non-fictional spy novels.
Mm-hmm.
Because the novelists, no, you know why? Not because, not to find errors, but the fact that the novelists in those books, who are completely free from the need to actually be accurate, sometimes, and a lot of times, come up with very good ideas that, if they were polished a little bit, could be used.
That's interesting.
In other ways. So what you may see in the fictional world happening in a book, and you say, oh, wait, no way, you may actually, it may take place in a, you know, in a perfected way in the real world. So that's kind of a little twist on it. So
That's an interesting twist. So I'm curious, you were discussing espionage, and I mentioned earlier your nonfiction book, By Way of Deception. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if this was just the marketing. Did you have difficulty getting that published? Was there resistance within the Israeli government to having your nonfiction account published of your work in the Mossad?
Well, you know, there are things you can get governments to do, and there are things you just can't. When the book was about to be published, before it came out, in Canada, It was the initial publisher was a Canadian. So before it came out, we were about to do a news conference in the publisher's place, and the British and the U.S. publishers were ready to come out already. And we were slapped with a court order from the Israeli government to cease and desist. And they had that pre-publication ban on the book in the U.S. and in Canada. And they went to the courts in New York and in Canada and in England. And they got a pre-publication ban on it. It's the first time, I think, in the American history that you got a book that was banned before it was published. It's unconstitutional. And that's when the New York Times and everybody else got involved as friends of the court and got it overturned in the U.S. in a day. In Canada, it took 17 days. And the English ignored it. They just went ahead. Just went ahead with the book.
Right.
Then there was a variety of other flurry of things that happened after that. But they really didn't want it published. Actually, when I came out with my second book, I sent a copy to the government in Israel, saying that there are things in it that I think would get them aggravated, and maybe they should try stopping that one too, because it did help sales.
Right. Not exactly what they were hoping for.
No.
So what was the path?
Prime Minister.
What was the path to publication like for you? Did you have difficulty originally getting your books published? Did you work with a literary agent? What was that process?
No. Well, what happened was I was in Canada, and I decided to publish the book, and I figured I'd put my old thinking hat, if I were doing this in the agency, what would I do? Well, the whole idea is the path of least resistance. Figured out who would have the easiest way to get a book published. And I thought, well, somebody who had a number one book, a book on the number one bestseller list,
sure,
would have the easiest way to get a book published. So I took the Ottawa Citizen, which was the newspaper of the day where I was living in Ottawa, Canada. And I looked in who was number one. And a guy by the name of Claire Hoy wrote a book by the name of Friends in High Places about the then Prime Minister of Canada. It was number one. So I called him, and I had a meeting with him. And I said, I have this idea for a book, and I have this information, and I think we should write it. I need 10 minutes of your time. We met at a cafe. We talked for 3 hours. We wrote a 2-page presentation. We had we set up 2 or 3 meetings in Toronto with publishers to try and do it very discreetly. And by the end of the second day, we had a contract to write a book. It was going to be written, edited in-house, and this cover designed in-house, and drop shipped to stores without pre-notification. That was the deal. And there it went. We published the book. The Israeli government tried to stop it. It came out 2 days later. 2 weeks later, the whole thing, it was actually published in through the Canadian publisher.
Right.
After 17 days, there were a lot of news conferences and a lot of media, USA Today and Good Morning America and Larry King and the whole nine yards.
Sure.
And then, of course, the Frankfurt Book Fair opened. Actually, when the Frankfurt Book Fair opened, our agent was already there. And the book was about to be published. The ban came on it on a Friday. I think the book fair was over the weekend. It shot to number one in the U.S. On the bestseller list, and we sold it to 37 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, and within a day or so. So it kind of like, it was all timing. Could not have been planned.
Right. Well, I'm curious now, are you working on another thriller?
Yes, I am. I haven't been in the bookstores for a long time. I have my own little company that it's a website where for authors that want to get, you know, order their own books,
mm-hmm.
which is called Print-A-Press, which is just launched. And we have hundreds of authors ordering books that are at the lowest price on the internet, et cetera. But I haven't been, and I always recommend, people think, you know, bookstores and publishers are dead. And even though I have a business that supports that idea, I completely disagree with it. And what I'm saying is publishers are the way to go, because they have the editors, they have the whole system. It's not enough to be able to write a book.
Right.
You have to have the support system. And the publishers are a filter that just doesn't allow everything, you know, into the bookstore. And it's not necessarily a filter of quality. A lot of times it's a filter of sellability. And you know, will allow you to know if a publisher will take you, there's a good chance you can make a living at this. So there's no pipe dreams. It helps that. The fact that I'm, so to speak, back in the bookstores after a long hiatus,
mm-hmm.
Is really, you know, makes you want to write more. And I'm working on another one. I think I'm moving a little bit closer to my my source, which
right.
is back to a Mossad guy. And now with the, you know, the spring in the Arab world, it's kind of like dicey to write, because, you know, you don't know.
Yeah, it's changing every day.
Yeah, but you see, that I think the Black Ghost comes to prove that the fact that there's no more Soviet Union or something that happens doesn't mean everything is safe.
Sure.
What now we have, we're going to have a whole lot of more fragile states all over the world, or in the Middle East, than we had before. As we know, democracy is something that you have to protect and defend and hover over all the time, and fight for. It's not a dictatorship is kind of more something like a statue that you put in a circle, and you know it's there every day. A democracy is like a bunch of cats in a circle.
Sure.
Traffic around it, and they may leave, they may not. You can't control it, so it's more interesting and a lot more dangerous.
Definitely. So, what was the name of your website again, in terms of publishing?
It's called Print-A-Press. We found that print2press.com. We found an interesting situation. There's a lot of places where you go to, you know, from the, where authors that want to have, you know, 5 books, 10 books, 3 books, you know, for places where they go or send to all publishers or do things. And these other ones are so complicated. You know, you come in, you're supposed to be an author, not a geek. A computer geek, so you don't have to understand all these things. I figured we need a place that, you know, how should I put it? It's so easy, even a 65-year-old can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a lot of things in sizes. You know, there's all standards. You know, the 4.7 by 7.6 and 5 by 8 and 3 by 9 and I don't know, all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, why don't we just do a place where you can just go there, upload your PDF, whatever it is, we'll take it. give you already a half-made cover, and if you want to edit it here, the tools are 1, 2, 3, 10 minutes, you're done, and order the book. You know, don't wait. So that's what we created. Very, 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 very basic, very simple, you know. And the result is a really nice trade paperback in whatever size you want. So, and very, very inexpensive, you know, $2-3.
Great. Again, I've been speaking with Victor Ostrovsky, author of the spy thriller Black Ghost. Victor, thanks for taking the time to do this interview.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is Lee Child, and I'm listening to the Reading and Writing Podcast.
Thanks for listening to my latest podcast. If you have a chance, please leave a review of the podcast in iTunes. It only takes a moment. Until next time, read some good books and be well.